What's up? Welcome back to another episode of Ringside Geek, your home to all things professional wrestling. Not just the WWE, everything, all around it, and, you know, everything that surrounds it in its atmosphere and its orbit, if you believe in the round earth theory, I guess. If you're a flat earther, I got nothing for you. My name is Dave, and joining me today to talk about quite a few things is Tom.
Hello.
John.
I am here.
And Monroe.
That's me. Hello, hello.
There you go. The Avengers have all assembled.
So if you believe in a flat Earth, do you believe all the other planets are flat too?
There are no other planets.
What?
No.
How can there be?
Well, I don't know.
How can we see flat other planets if ours is flat? They're just all above us?
Yeah.
I see.
Doesn't make any sense. What's underneath us then?
That's some deep
More
thought right
flat
there.
Flat Earths.
Yeah.
layers.
Earth 4, and so on and so forth.
Right. The multiverse.
Yeah.
There you go. Boring flatness.
Yeah.
All right. So we got lots to talk about. So let's dive right in. We're not going to really look back too much at results from SmackDown or Raw or anything like that. Well, we are in a way, but not really. As far as breaking anything down, because what's the point? We're going to look ahead. We'll do TakeOver and SummerSlam predictions going into the weekend, so we'll save that probably for the end of the show. We'll look back at the bigger stuff outside of the E this past week. A little bit of Impact, but like I said, we got a lot to dig into. So first, I'd like to let John and Monroe talk about their weekend of live events.
Boy, did we have a lot of fun this past weekend, huh? So we went to Evolve. What was it, 110? I think I was right. It was 110, and then we went to Progress Wrestling in Chicago. So, Monroe, do you have anything that you took away from either one of these shows? Let's start with Evolve. Anything that you took away from Evolve? Because I know what I'm going to talk about.
Well, two things. One, Evolve has a lot of work to do.
Yes,
regarding their roster and their product. It's not the worst thing I've ever seen, but they have a lot of work to do. And two, Darby Allin deserves the world. Those are the two takeaways I got from you all.
I'll have to settle for now being engaged to Priscilla Kelly.
They're engaged?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. How sweet.
I think it just happened.
Oh, that's so cute.
So, yeah, what she said about Darby Allin. First and foremost, the match with Matt Riddle was probably the best match I saw out of both shows. Darby Allin is just, when you put him, I hope he doesn't go to like 205 Live or something, because he's so much better as like an underdog to a larger opponent that I don't want to see him face guys his size. His selling is incredible. His willingness to put his body on the line is like insane. The guy, he's got a death wish or something. I don't know.
He took this one
bump where he literally just fell off the top rope, jumped off the top rope, and did a flat back bump on the apron. Like, dude is insane. He's just insane. And I commend him for that.
Too, even after that spot, it was crazy.
Yeah. So that was the best match I saw. And to kind of piggyback off of what she said, too, with Evolve's roster, I mean, they've got Shane Strickland and Joey Janela as their champions. And I think I said last week that I would make my mind up about Joey Janela. Those guys are both solid wrestlers. I don't think that they are, like, outstanding just yet, but they're solid wrestlers. If you are building your company around them, I don't know about it. Like, if you're going from Matt Riddle to Darby Allin, Matt Riddle to Joey Janela or Shane Strickland, I don't know. I guess you can do it, but right now, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they're good to fill like mid-card matches, but when you start putting them in main events, I'm not completely sold on it yet.
Wasn't Austin Theory their champion recently?
Austin Theory was, and then he lost it to Joey Janela. He's still the FIP world champion, right, though, which is like another one of Gabe Sapolsky's promotions. So.
Okay.
And yeah, he was in that match too. It was Joey Janela and I forget what the guy's name was, but it was like something X, and he had all black on, and he looked way too overdressed for the occasion.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Dude had like a sweatshirt on. It was 80 degrees. The building was sweltering hot, like no reason for that. And then it was the other team was Shane Strickland and Austin Theory. That was semi-main.
I'm familiar with Shane Strickland through being Killshot and Lucha.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I like his set. I mean, although I don't know how it translates because Lucha is a different, I guess it's the way they show their program. Maybe it's different than seeing it in maybe a different promotion, but I like what I see from him in Lucha.
Yeah. And another guy from Lucha, AR Fox, was on this show too. And that's a good segue because he was also in the Progress show in a tag team match. He filled in for the injured Kid Lykos as CCK. That's usually Lykos and Chris Brooks defended their titles against Flamita and Bandido. And I think that that's probably the most noteworthy thing that came out of the show, right, Monroe?
Oh, absolutely.
Go ahead.
The show as a whole was still very good, but I think the fact that we had a title change was a really big deal.
Yeah, it was, especially with their big show in Wembley coming up next month. And they actually retained the titles throughout the whole tour. So Flamita and Bandido, your new Progress Wrestling Tag Team Champions, and they're going to probably be defending those in Wembley Stadium. So the next month for these guys is insane because they're going to be wrestling probably on the Anniversario or Triple Mania shows in Mexico, PWG, Bola, coming up through the middle of September. And then at the end of the month, they're going to go to Wembley in Europe and wrestle for Progress. So those guys are really starting to catch fire on the indies. So and they got All In too at the beginning of the month. So they're on fire right now. And I couldn't have been – you can look at the video because you could see me and Monroe just marking out for that title victory. That was so exciting to see live. And overall, what a great show. Dude, Dave, your guy Mark Andrews and Jimmy Havoc had this awesome opening contest. Just awesome. Mm-hmm. He's so fun to watch live. And the back and forth with Jimmy Havoc, who's a really great heel, was I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was going to say that matchup is you've got a really good babyface and heel matchup there.
Yep, and he worked it really well as a babyface. He was more the high flyer, and Jimmy Havoc was more of a brawler, which when you combine those two things, it really clicked. Walter defended his Progress Wrestling Heavyweight Championship in the main event and was able to defeat what was his name? TK Cooper or something like that. I forget what his name is. That match not as noteworthy. Actually, both of the Walter matches were not as exciting as I expected them to be. I don't know if it was matchup-wise or what it was, but for me, the highlights, definitely Darby Allin and Matt Riddle and then Flamita and Bandido winning the tag titles. What did you think overall, Monroe?
Yeah, I thought Progress was definitely a much better show than Evolve, and it was super fun to watch. It was a lot of guys that we recognized, like British Strong Style, Mark Andrews, Tony Storm, Jenny. You know, a lot of people that we recognize were in Progress, and I know it's the first time for me for just about everybody there, but I had an amazing time, and I cannot believe we saw a title change. That was such a big deal, and yeah, Progress, man. I wouldn't mind following them again. That was a great show.
Yeah, and again, they're coming up next month. They have their big Wembley Stadium show. It's going to be their biggest show in company history. Going to be headlined by Pete Dunne defending, or I'm not sure if he's defending the UK championship yet, but he will be facing Ilya Dragunov from WXW, who's another one of my indie darling favorites right now. So yeah, I might check them out and follow that, and if we do end up watching that show, we'll get back to you on that. But Progress was a blast. I took a selfie with Matt Riddle during his entrance, which was pretty cool. Yeah, it was overall just a blast, just a fun time, well worth the money.
What's the update on the Tony Storm, getting engaged to Dave Clark situation?
Look, Dave, I wanted so bad to go over there where she was, but when I tell you that everybody in the building decided they wanted to see her,
I will say you have a lot of competition.
I'm
Dave.
Sure I do. I'm, yeah.
I was like, I'm not gonna deal with that. I'm sorry, Dave, but that line, I'm gonna miss the show.
That's
everybody wanted to meet her.
That's fine. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. I really want her to be as over as she can be.
Well, she's over, that's for sure. Her and Pete Dunne, man, they just had lines like you wouldn't believe. So, yeah, it was a great time. We both had a lot of fun, and I would suggest if you have the chance to go see a Progress show or an Evolve show, because of their, you know, the tickets are so affordable, just go ahead and do it. It's a great time, and you won't regret it. So, yeah, that's about it.
All right, cool. Good stuff. All right, so let's real quickly. I don't have many headlines, so we'll just do that real fast. All right. Everyone's favorite, you know, 5-star, 6-star given WWE or wrestling commentary person, reporter.
Thank you for not calling him a journalist, because he's not.
You're right. Opinion maker of wrestling for the many, many years now. Dave Meltzer got on his Wrestling Observer Radio, which I don't know, is that just a podcast or is it on satellite radio? I don't even know where you find it. But he and co-host Brian Alvarez, who's a similar type person, I don't think he works for the same company. I guess they might. They're on Wrestling Observer Radio. I know Alvarez used to do a different thing, but anyway.
Yeah, so it's Wrestling Observer is Dave Meltzer, Figure Four Weekly.
That's
Brian
it.
Alvarez,
yeah, that's
and they
it.
Both kind of like combine their websites or whatever together. So
gotcha. Okay. Well, they were discussing the Iconics, and then they specifically started talking about Peyton Royce and her appearance. The exact words from the audio snippet. I've got a little dialogue here. So here it is. Meltzer, I thought they had a cool act in NXT, and on the main roster, I don't get a thing out of them. I don't think their promos are particularly good. Their wrestling isn't good. I think Peyton Royce's transformation to look more attractive. I don't know. I don't want to say, but I don't think. And then Alvarez interrupts that they were more attractive in NXT. Meltzer, I thought so. Yes. To me, yes. I would say so, but that's neither here nor there. Alvarez, no one's saying she's unattractive, by the way, everybody. Meltzer, I know. No, shh. I don't like swearing. On air. Yeah, I didn't say it at all, but she doesn't stand out to me. When she was in NXT, she did. She was a lot lighter. And then the person who brought that to somebody's attention said, is this normal stuff for a journalist to be talking about ever? She was more attractive in NXT. She was a lot lighter. And then Peyton Royce responded by saying, so what would you have me do, Dave? Starve myself? This is how nightmares for young women start. The females in your life must be proud. And then this is Meltzer's comments to that. I'd like to apologize to you. You are an exceedingly attractive woman. I do realize the lengths and pressures on women in the entertainment world to maintain unnatural looks at times, and I'm glad you pointed this out. Nice response. The WWE side of things responded back, a couple indies too, mostly women here. So Beth Phoenix said, I'm sorry, but this makes me sick. Charlotte Flair, you're smart, beautiful, funny, caring, talented, and so much more. Love you. Ember Moon, get 'em, girl. You are beautiful inside and out and always have been. Can't believe that was even a topic of conversation. MVP, if I may offer you some advice, F 'em. The worthless critics who contribute nothing to our industry are given too much power by acknowledging them. Shine on, you crazy diamond. Tyler Breeze, there's a way to genuinely apologize to someone, and then there's a way to pass the buck trying to redirect blame because you got called out. Own up to your own words. You're the one who said them. And then Tennille Dashwood, who we all know is...
Emma.
Yeah, thank you. I was swallowing hard. You're extremely talented, beautiful inside and out. We all know it. And then my favorite, Seth Rollins. -6 stars, Dave. yeah, I mean, we say some stupid stuff on here about the appearance of the female wrestlers, but at the same time, I don't think we've ever called any of them unattractive, or made that part of our, I mean, quote unquote criticism of their performances, because it has nothing to do with it. And I don't know. I really had a hard time with that, or, you know, I thought that was the dumbest thing anybody could do or say. who's that respected in the industry by a lot of fans. Not me necessarily, but by a lot of fans.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what his intentions were. Like, I don't know the reason as to why he went there. It's just weird, though. It's a weird thing to say. I don't think what he said was sexist.
No.
Necessarily. However, I just think it was dumb and in bad taste.
Right. It falls in line with that, with a little bit, not to the extreme, but it falls in line with the body shaming topic. Mm-hmm. I don't know how extreme it is because I'm not a woman. And I don't, you know, it bothers me when people call me fat, so I don't know. I don't know. We've said, like I said, we've talked about stupid stuff, like debating whether or not Alexa Bliss got a chest, you know, breast implants or whatever. You know, we've talked about these things before, but I don't know. It just didn't sit well with me when I read that stuff. Plus, I'm not a huge fan of Meltzer, so I do like making star jokes, not every now and again.
Don't we all?
He should have just stopped when he was critiquing them in the ring. I have no problem with him critiquing wrestlers in the ring.
Yeah.
Right. But then, you know, you start approaching someone's appearance and it's like, you know, you can have those opinions, but you should keep them to yourself.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. I 100% with you, John. What he said at the beginning, as far as working NXT and on the main roster, I'm not going to disagree with him. I'm not. I really like their NXT work better. But when you start jogging on appearance, that has nothing to do with anything. That's just you being a bitter man about something. I mean, you know, where does it hurt, little man? Where does it hurt?
Probably not in his wallet. That guy probably gets paid quite a bit by mostly wrestlers, I would say.
Yeah, but was he, you know, maybe the boy that was turned away by one of these beautiful women?
I would love to know that story. If that's we're not saying that's anywhere near true, but
I mean, he's in this business. He's dealt with these beautiful women every day of his career.
I think he's married and got kids. I don't know, but I could be wrong. I have no idea, to be honest.
But you can get what I'm saying.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, let's move on. Rey Mysterio has been pulled from a Northeast wrestling show due to the WWE contractual situation. Doesn't have a contract yet, but I guess this means that they're getting real serious. And it was supposed to be for an August 24th show in Massachusetts. So, I don't know. Maybe it's they just don't like that promotion, and maybe it was an unsafe working environment, and they just want to secure their... I have no idea. Because they haven't pulled him from any other shows that I know of.
Yeah, I was going to say they're going to let him stay in All In.
New Japan, too.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Or just maybe now talks are getting more serious. Who knows?
Or maybe there was a promotional tour for the 2K game. Who knows?
Yeah. He had to go do some commentary for the 2K game. Who knows? We're going to talk about TakeOver later, but Triple H did a press phone conference thing earlier this week talking about it, and everyone's favorite cruiserweight villain came up in conversation, and that's Neville. He was asked about Neville's WWE status, and Triple H flat out said, "To be honest, I'm not 100% positive. I would need to go back and look into that. That seems odd to me that you don't know his status." And then possibly using Neville in NXT UK. You're 100% right. Neville is one of the most talented guys in the world. I love the time that he spent with us in NXT. He did a great job of building up the Cruiserweight division on 205 Live. Time will see where that ends up. So, who knows? But there is some Neville speak. Everybody
well,
loves
it's good to hear his name again, but I don't...
That's what I'm saying. Right.
I don't buy Triple H not knowing stuff. Like, come on. You could have come up with something better than that.
Well, right. hopefully for all our sakes, maybe that's just a work to, you know... I don't know. We got nothing for him, and maybe there is something for him, and we're going to be surprised soon.
Yeah, maybe it's a way to keep his name out there. Just say, hey, don't forget this guy, because maybe he might pop up soon. I don't know. It's possible.
I think his answer was more of, hey, stop talking about this guy, because we watched you forget him, so that we can surprise you.
What Neville? Who's Neville?
Right. Right. Chris Jericho, currently touring with his band, currently not defending his IWGP Intercontinental Championship, but that's just...
Yeah, you're telling me.
But I don't know how many times have the heavyweight tag team titles been defended since he won that title?
I mean,
see?
What?
No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea. Oh yeah, Jericho. 2019 is going to be interesting. He says he proclaims he's a free agent, and that 2019 will be an interesting year. Hashtag free agent Jericho. So who knows what that means? He's going to Impact.
I'm leaning that way now.
Woof.
Just because of the improved product and his relationship with Callis, I think he sees an upswing. So
maybe we shall see. And finally, well, there's one more piece after this, but the updated All In card, the main event has been set. I don't think we've talked about it on the show. We predict, or I should say, John predicted it. So added to the card right now, somebody asked what the main event was going to be. And, actually the main event is going to be the six man, but according to the Bucks, Kenny Omega versus Pentagon has been added to the card.
That's a big match.
Mm-hmm. That's a huge match.
And, I think one or two more names has been added to that 0 hour pre-show battle royal.
Ooh, just imagine the selling Kenny's going to do in that match.
Oh, God, yeah, it's going to be atrocious.
Every one of those chest chops is going to be like he killed him.
Yeah, he's going to sell it like he gets shot.
Then get right back up and V-trigger him.
Yeah,
yeah, of course.
Oh, my God! Do it again.
With his I am so violent face. Why am I so violent?
The whole time.
No, that's a big match. It's a great match, and it will draw a lot of fans out there. So if they already haven't sold it out, I'm sure that this match will help. The rest of the card, not so sure. But that match in particular, I think that's one that a lot of fans have wanted to see. So
let me ask you something, since you guys watch, or well, I'm going to ask John, because I know you watch Being the Elite and you watch Impact, or recently have started watching Impact.
I do not watch Being the Elite.
Oh, you don't?
You
never mind then.
But you can ask if you want to ask me a question. I'll try to maybe answer.
So Being the Elite has these characters every so often that with these weird voices, but all you see is their hands behind the camera. Do you know what I'm talking about?
They do.
It's yeah. They usually are questioning somebody about something. More recently, they were questioning Cody. They were like his political campaign advisors, telling him to not run for whatever he's pretending to run for in 2020. And they've interrogated Hangman Page about killing Joey Ryan.
That's interesting. No, I have no have no idea what any of that's about.
Yeah, basically, it's just all you see are two hands kind of gesturing on beneath the camera, you know? Like, they're behind the camera. You're seeing their perspective. And I've recently seen a segment on Impact with the same... I haven't listened to it. I haven't heard the voices. But I saw the same thing with Scarlett Bordeaux, and they had the same similar gimmick with two hands just... two sets of hands just kind of talking.
Oh yeah. No, I saw that. I saw that. That was she was talking to them about some sort of segment or something she wanted to do on the show.
Yeah,
I saw that. I don't know if there's any correlation or any relation between the two, but
it wouldn't surprise me if it's a Callus thing on both sides.
Could be. That's a great detective work there, Dave.
I try sometimes. All right, and
as an Impact fan, I will say you put more credence into a Scarlett Bordeaux promo than anyone already.
It has nothing to do with her. It was all about the hands that were on the screen. She just happened to be there with her chest heaving in and out of the picture. And just acting all kinds of...
It was heaving, that's for sure.
I didn't even realize she had hands at that point.
Some sad news this week as we lost another wrestler. Jim the Anvil Neidhart has passed away following an accident at his home earlier this week. Super sad when you know about the relationship he has with his daughter, Natalia. They're extremely close.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing the kind of heart and person that Natalia is, or at least from what we see and like her Instagram and just the stuff you get to see about her, it's really sad. It's tough. It's her father. He was only 63.
Yeah, 63.
So, Tom, being the elder statesman, do you have a favorite Neidhart or Anvil memory?
just about everything he did with the Hart Foundation. He was the guy. He was so intense, but yet he had that comical laugh.
Yes, the laugh.
Always pulling at that goatee, but then in the most serious moment, yeah, baby. Yeah.
And apparently that's his real laugh. So.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I was a big Hart Foundation fan. I mean, originally as the tag team, and then even when Brett kind of brought the Hart Foundation kind of back together with Jim, Owen, and Brian Pillman, Owen Davey. Which, what's sad is, of all of them, only Brett is alive right now. Mm-hmm. How sad is that?
Yeah.
Pretty sad. I mean,
anybody else, any other Anvil memories they want to discuss?
It's a laugh, man. His laugh is iconic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I will say one thing that disappointed me, that the amount of shade that was thrown. I watched Raw. And they did the tribute later, and it was a full video package tribute. And I thought it was very well done. But people were chiming in when the Revival did the Hart attack during the match, and they're like, oh, well, that should have ended the match. Well, let's see. That's not their finisher, but at the same time, they're paying homage to a legendary tag team. Quit hating on stuff, guys.
Yeah, of all the things to hate on, I don't understand why that is something you got to even discuss.
Yeah, if I remember right on Twitter, Bully Ray was one of the biggest ones, and I'm like, guy, come on, you and D-Von did the Doomsday Device after Hawk died for the Legion of Doom, so let's not be a hypocrite here.
Yeah,
he always has something to say.
Always.
The bully's got to stay relevant. All right, so that's all I've got as far as headlines go. It was a busy week, so I kept up with as much as I could. So, before I move on to this little project I've been working on, I will hand it over to Tom and the rest of you guys to discuss anything from Impact that you guys want to talk about.
Yeah, I guess we covered the past kind of 2 weeks. Like I said, before we come on the air, there's not a whole lot that I really took away from it. Some great matches. Really, from this week, I thought my favorite match was Pentagon versus Matt Sydal.
Well, real quick, we're up through. We're not talking about the August 16th show. We're talking about the shows before that for everybody listening.
Right, that was last week, which I thought was a great match, and him kicking out of the Pentagon Driver was really cool because you don't do that.
Yeah.
Then the biggest moment was the. When Davey Richards had attacked Austin Aries previously, I think it was 2 weeks in a row, and they made the match. And I don't like this Eddie Edwards character. I don't like the hardcore, I'm crazy Eddie Edwards. I don't like it at all.
You got into it, huh?
No, I'm not. As he was choking Aries out, put him to sleep, Aries. I don't like that. No, I don't
yeah,
like
no,
that at all.
You know what? I'm not a big fan of it either. I'll agree with you there.
And then Killer Kross comes out. Which I'm watching and I'm thinking, wait a minute, what is this? And then it makes perfect sense to me. As he gets involved, costs Eddie the match, and aligns himself with Austin Aries. I think it's beautiful because I think Don Callis said it right there. He said, Killer Kross has an appetite to destroy people, and Austin Aries is just feeding him people. I thought that was one of the best lines for putting two guys together that I hadn't heard in a while.
Yeah,
especially knowing the Kross character and knowing the Austin Aries character, who would do anything to stay on top, mm-hmm. to align himself with this guy, I thought it was beautiful. And I'm looking forward to hear the explanation, hoping that maybe I'm right. That's what it was.
Yeah, I can't say I'm the biggest fan of it because I don't know how I feel about this Kross character yet. I haven't really seen him in the ring. I don't really know much about him. But, I'm willing to give it a chance and see where it goes. I think that Impact, again, they've really been trying to bring some new players into the fold while still using guys with names and, try to tell some unique stories and things that people would be interested in. And I think they're doing an okay job so far. So, and like you said, yeah, the Pentagon Sydal match was very good. So, yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed that episode for sure. Outside of the Scarlett Bordeaux stuff, I'm not into it. If we could just, X-nay all that and give me 30 minutes more of Tessa Blanchard, I'm cool with it. Let's do it. because that girl in the ring is something else. I don't want to get into spoilers, but I heard something happened and I'm excited about it.
So. I was angry about that. I was angry that Impact themselves spoiled it. I was angry about that.
But you know, I understand why they did it. And not to tangent, but I think they did that because if they didn't do it, some other website was going to do it and it was going to get around.
Yeah, from what I understand, TMZ was all over it already.
WWE's done it recently now with NXT tapings too. So it's the we'd rather release it and have you find out about it than you hear about it on WrestlingInc.com or whatever.
Yeah, it's just the times. It's the sign of the times, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's you know, similar to Monday Night Wars when WCW would let you know what's going on. Now it's just your own company is just going to do it, I guess, to hope that you change channels.
Right. And I will say, whoever's writing and producing this LAX OGs angle, I'm very happy with it because it's keeping it very, I don't want to say street, but these boys are going at it. I think it was last week, the Joker brought an axe to the ring. He brought an axe and security came out like he was really going to use it. And I'm like, this is believable all of a sudden that these two guys, these four guys, are about to go straight hood, straight street. They don't care what they get their hands on. They're going to hack each other up. They don't care. And then this week there's an attack backstage, and I've never seen it was the coolest spot when Hernandez did the bomb, the border toss. He threw a man into the wall with the border toss, and it was the coolest looking thing I'd seen.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that this LAX OG storyline is the best thing going in Impact right now.
I agree. I would definitely agree.
That, and you know what? I think when they give, what is it, OVE and the Lucha Bros time, that's a lot of fun too. Mm-hmm. But this storyline just makes so much sense. I love this, and the matches have been delivering. Everything about this has been great so far.
Absolutely. But as far as Impact, that's really all I have, and I'll be watching. I'll probably watch it later tonight after the show. So.
All right. I guess let's go outside the E, and I guess Impact too, and continue that conversation with whatever John's got this week and Monroe.
Wow. So we had the finals of the G1 Climax, the A block and B block finals. Monroe and I had the pleasure of watching these together, and it was a lot of fun. The shows themselves, again, they're New Japan cards. So the first half was your standard tag matches, nothing too tremendously thrilling, and really nothing of note. So let's just start with the A block. The A block final, I believe it came down to just Tanahashi and Okada. Jay White was out by the time the main event came around. He lost to Evil. And Hiroshi Tanahashi defeated Kazuchika Okada. But he didn't necessarily defeat him. He won by time limit draw. So with the draw, Tanahashi was able to move to the finals, and he would meet the winner of the B block final, which ended up being Naito was eliminated on the last day, so it came down to Ibushi and Kenny Omega in their main events in a match that was highly anticipated by a lot of fans.
Absolutely.
And I don't know. Well, let's. I'm going kind of fast here, so let's talk about that first Okada Tanahashi match. What did you think of that match, Monroe?
I didn't think it was as good as their previous matches, but I thought it was good. I mean, it's Okada and Tanahashi. You're almost guaranteed to have a great, if not good, match. And I thought this one. I mean, a lot of people loved it, and I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was amazing.
Yeah, I agree. This is one of those times where I was like, oh, man, Tanahashi just looked to me like he was old in this match. That's the only way I could put it. And I don't mean this as, like, you know, a knock on Tanahashi. Like, he's a great professional wrestler. But, my God, he has trouble moving sometimes. And it's just like, you know, I understand he's a great storyteller. He really is. He's a fantastic storyteller. But
really is.
After you went earlier this year and you told the story of Okada kind of being the ace now and taking over, I feel like they didn't necessarily backtrack, but they came close to doing so. And I would have rather just seen Okada win there, because I would have rather them stamp that in, you know, and say, look, he's the ace now. Tanahashi's time is through. But yeah, the match itself was still great. It just, I don't think it really reached that epic level that their encounters usually do. And then we had Ibushi and Omega, and this was another one where it was like they were saving stuff. I don't know. It didn't seem like it was. I mean, there was some really crazy stuff, like Ibushi doing the double knees right to the chest, where it looked like he just damn near caved in Kenny Omega's rib cage. What did you think of this match?
Yeah, I have to agree. It felt like it was half a match, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Like you said, like they were holding back, like they're saving it for later. So they were very shy, very timid. It wasn't the Ibushi that we know, or that we're used to seeing. And even Omega was holding back some. So it makes you think they're going to wrestle each other again. How or when, I don't know. But that's how it makes you feel. But as far as the match goes itself, I thought the match was good. Again, it didn't blow me away. But I thought it was good. I thought it was a fine match.
Yeah, it was one of those ones, like you said, where it was like, we're getting ready for a match in the very near future. But yeah, like you said, I don't know when that match is going to happen. Maybe King of Pro Wrestling, we shall see. It seems like Ishii is going to be the one to get that shot. And I hope he does. I hope he gets the King of Pro Wrestling main event. But this match, yeah, it was great. But just much like the Okada-Tanahashi match, it never really reached that epic level that I thought it would. And, you know, it may have had something to do, too, with those guys, the winners, saving a little something for the third day and saving something for the main event. And boy, did they ever. The final, the G1 final, it was Tanahashi and Ibushi. And this was must-see main event action from New Japan. One of my favorite, not my favorite match of the tournament, but one of them. I love the finish. I love what Ibushi, to me, Ibushi carried this match. I feel like Tanahashi facing Ibushi was just, it lended so much to this match because Tanahashi, it just, you never, you, it was a perfect way of making you believe, like, because everybody thought Ibushi was going to win to go on and face Omega. Mm-hmm. But Tanahashi, I mean, it's just the perfect role for him to catapult him into this victory. And like I said, you know, on the last show, New Japan doing this year where, you know, right down to the last day of the tournament, you really didn't know who was going to win. That helped this match so much.
Absolutely.
And I loved it. I thought that this, again, was one of the best matches of the tournament. What did you think?
Yeah, no, absolutely one of the best matches of the tournament. Not my favorite match, that's still Ibushi and Ishii, but it was definitely up there near the top. I mean, it was Ibushi stepping up, being better in this match than in the match with Omega, and Tanahashi being himself, being that, you know, Hulk Hogan babyface, you know, never give up ace. I mean, that's who he is, you know, that's Tanahashi, and man, he really delivered. He really stepped it up, and I thought this match was absolutely awesome.
And so the winner of the G1 Climax, Hiroshi Tanahashi, will go on to Wrestle Kingdom to face Kenny Omega if he can defend his contract, which it seems like he's going to be facing Okada. And boy, after Okada beat him earlier this year, they went to a draw. One has to wonder whether or not Okada is going to be the first guy to take the contract. No one has ever lost their contract, and no one has ever cashed in at Wrestle Kingdom to win. So maybe this is one of the years where one of those gets broken. But first, we've got to find out who is going to go into Wrestle Kingdom and challenge the champion. Right now, it is Tanahashi.
Go ahead. Couldn't he do both?
Who's that, Okada?
Yeah. Absolutely. Win it, take the contract, and then also win.
Absolutely, he could do that.
Okay.
Yep, and you know what? I wouldn't put it past them because they've put all of their chips in his basket now. So
right.
All of their eggs, I guess, chips. I don't know. I got two things confused. But
mix and metaphors. It's what we do.
Yes. I think that's very possible. Although I hope that they go with Tanahashi. I like it. I think it's a fresh match, and I don't want to see Okada Omega again. I'm sorry. I know everybody loves that match. I'm not big on it, and I don't want to see it at Wrestle Kingdom again. I'd much rather see Tanahashi in that match.
Can I make my prediction now?
Go for it, man.
It's Okada Omega with Omega losing and then showing up in WWE after that.
Wow.
You think so?
Yep.
All right.
Not Impact.
All right, set it in stone.
Well, I mean, it's just a prediction.
Overall, I thought this G1 was maybe it
now
was
that's,
great.
That's my prediction. That's not what I want to happen. That's my prediction.
Okay. Overall, I thought this G1 was not as good as last year's, but still very good. I think when its highs were higher, but its lows were lower.
Yes.
The Bullet Club angle was, it just really had like, it was like a dark cloud hanging over this G1 because the undercards where it just sopped up all the energy. It seemed like every time you had a Bullet Club match or an OG match, it was like you knew it was coming. Mm-hmm. And I hated that. I hate knowing what's going to happen in a wrestling match when you do it over and over again. It's just, I don't understand that booking at all. The Jay White's tournament was a massive disappointment, in my opinion, something that could have really been a breakout opportunity for him. He's just squandered entirely. I don't know where he goes from here either, because he's not really in contention for any championship. So that's I don't know. Tetsuya Naito, I'm disappointed that he was not at least, in the final. I understand, Tanahashi, and I understand Ibushi. They have history, but I think Naito and Tanahashi have more history, and I would have enjoyed that match more personally. But yeah, overall, like I said, it was still a great tournament, and the highs, man, Ibushi and Ishii. Yeah. Basically any Ishii match you can go back and watch, and it was phenomenal.
Or Zack Sabre Jr.,
who had a great tournament. Don't get me wrong. There was a lot to love about this G1. I just preferred last year's. Kojima being in there and... I thought it was a lot better. Nagata too, being in last year's G1, just those two guys alone. I mean, that's my shit. So, what did you think overall, looking back at the G1, Monroe?
Oh, I think you nailed it. Yeah. The highs were definitely high and the lows were definitely low. As a Jay White fan, I was so disappointed in his G1 performance and the booking that they tried with him. It's like, I don't know. It was just weird. He kept losing in certain matches. Like, they couldn't make up their mind which way they wanted to go with him. And then he just kind of fell to the wayside. It was so disappointing to see. And then the whole... Because I really thought after that whole Bullet Club angle thing, whatever OG firing squad stuff, I really thought Tomatonga was going to come and just blow everyone away in the G1. And I was so disappointed when that didn't happen. So, yeah, there were some lows. But, like we just talked about, Ibushi and Ishii in the Zack Sabre Jr. match. There's so many matches we can talk about. They were absolutely amazing in this G1. So it was definitely, I think, in my opinion, on par with last year. I don't think it was higher or lower, but I think it was on par. I may put the last one above it, biased, because Naito won. But honestly, I think they both were on par with each other.
As far as from like an in-ring perspective?
In-ring perspective,
yeah,
yes.
I get that. For
Let me,
sure.
Real quick. So I didn't watch, I don't think I watched a single match from this tournament, and it's on me, but I caught up with a lot of it on social media and Instagram and stuff like that. And, dirt sheets and crap like that. So
sure.
What I'm getting from it is this OG firing squad angle. The outside the ring, outside the tournament stuff was great to build them as these renegade heels, but everything they did in the tournament ruin that. So the booking that they had in the tournament itself ruined the story. Meanwhile, they're doing everything they can to make it work outside of the ring. It's kind of how I felt. Because I thought the stuff on social media and the using American slang and then the suspension thing. And I thought that's good if it's working in the storyline in the show. I thought that's good. It's bringing eyes and attention to the storyline. But it was failing in the ring.
Well, I don't know if, in my opinion, I don't know if ruined is the right word.
Okay.
Because I feel like the run-ins and the stuff, to me, that still made sense with, you know, the whole angle. But it made sense when it was with certain people. Like, I understood when they attacked Omega. I don't understand when you attack Michael Elgin.
Right,
you
know, why like, did
I don't, it? I don't get that.
Right, well, why, they didn't need to become anti-establishment. They needed to become anti-everything being the elite.
Well, what I got from what happened at that show when they attacked those guys.
Right.
That's the story I got. So I don't know.
I have a comment on that because I have been keeping track. I haven't watched anything like that, but I've been keeping track of it. And I go back to the initial press conference for the G1. And you can congratulate me on this, John. This is going to be good. When Tama took the mic and he said, I don't give a F about this tournament. I've been here for so many years and it's a recycled group just constantly bringing in fresh, and I think he even said American faces. But it's always the same core that's always here. I don't give a F about this tournament. So that leads me, having heard that and now gone back to see how it played out, they wanted to ruin the tournament. They wanted to make a mockery of it. Just bring the chaos that what they think the Bullet Club should be doing. That's my take on it.
That's 100% right. And that's exactly what they did. I'm just saying, personally, for me, keep it out of the G1 because I view the G1 as a prestigious tournament where you have an opportunity to main event Wrestle Kingdom. And I get it if you're saying, like, because in my, okay, so when it comes right down to it, being a professional wrestler, your goal is to be the champion. And so if you're in a tournament where you have a chance to main event the biggest show of the year and win the championship or have an opportunity to face a champion and you choose to lose those matches, I don't really think you're like a rebel or you're a bad guy. I just think you're an idiot.
Right.
You're passing up the biggest opportunity of your career, quite possibly. So, like, I don't know.
Well, I do. Okay, so I understand what you're saying.
That's ridiculous.
I get what you're saying, ridiculous. John, about the title should be your main goal. I understand that, but I think for them, this blood feud and hatred is overpowering that, and I get that as long as that shines through in their... I guess, everyday appearance and actions in the tournament itself, which I guess it did. But I do like the fact that they did everything to tear down this prestigious tournament to make the Bullet Club heels again and not this love fest that they've been since Kenny's become leader, or I guess even before then American fans, I guess. But now I don't know. It's hard to say. It's one of those things where right now it's the forest for the trees, you know.
I'll give you that. Give you that. It, like you said, it is gonna. It's the forest for the trees. Like you don't know where this is gonna be in 3 or 4 months,
right?
And maybe the payoff. I mean, maybe it's gonna be worth it. But for me right now, it just because I look forward to the G1 every year. This was one of those things where it was like, whenever I saw one of those guys, it totally turned me off of the tournament. And not in like a, oh, because, you know, I love a good heel. Mm-hmm. To me, that was not like, it didn't resonate with me. So, we'll see. It could pay off. Maybe Tama Tonga is going to be a great wrestler, but he's had opportunity after opportunity to be a great wrestler. Like he said in his press conference, he's one of the guys who's been in the G1 now for like 3 straight years. Yep. And Tama Tonga for 3 straight years has not done well in the G1.
I haven't done my homework on this, but I think he's had a losing record every year.
Every year he's had a losing record, and all of his matches have not really been memorable. You know, if you have that many opportunities, most likely, you know, somebody's going to talk about something. And now, instead of talking about his in-ring performance after 3 years, we're talking about this silly angle that they ran. And I get it. It's to make them heels. I just think that Tama Tonga had an opportunity to be more than that. Right. I think he could have been the leader of, like, the biggest heel faction in New Japan. And instead, now he's more like a mosquito. He's like a nuisance.
Yeah, but the group warfare did take a little turn when they did take the trio titles, at least.
They did take the trio's titles, but then that's like, so you'd rather have those than
go after the I understand, yeah.
I don't know. I get what they're doing. I know it's to make them heels. And like I said, we'll see where it goes.
And I was pleasantly surprised to see Ishimori get involved in that part of it.
Why is that?
I didn't know. Well, as far as I'm concerned, I didn't know what side he was on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I expected that because when Ishimori debuted, Tama Tonga was the one who introduced him and said that he personally contacted Tama Tonga to join the Bullet Club. So they kind of planted the seeds for that a while back, and I thought that was a great touch, bringing him in and not letting him be in the Golden Elite. I like that he's a part of this firing squad OG stable. I think it's cool.
Don't forget that it's Monroe's Uncle Ishii.
That's right. It's my Uncle Ishii.
Oh, yeah, Uncle Ishii. So, yes, next up is going to be the Destruction Tour. That's going to be in September. They have three main shows, and they'll all probably be headlined by a major title defense. And then we will go to, at the end of the month, is Fighting Spirit Unleashed in California. And then first week in October is King of Pro Wrestling, which is the big event where you will see an IWGP heavyweight title defense, most likely going to be Omega versus Ishii, and then the contract, Tanahashi will defend his contract most likely against Okada. Speaking of Kazuchika Okada, he will be appearing in Arena Mexico tomorrow night on CMLL, which is really cool. CMLL, I've had so much fun following this promotion, and I say this every week, but
Friday night, we gotta be careful.
Yes, so Friday night, so tonight,
yeah,
when you guys are listening to this, it's a lot of fun, and I would tune in. We watched a match this Tuesday that I recommend you guys go check out if you've got some spare time. Echicero versus Stuka Jr. for the NWA World Historic Championship. It's not like a officially recognized title, it's just CMLL has so many championships. Don't even get me started on CMLL's championships. But this match was amazing. It was a great display of technical wrestling and high flying in the same. And the crowd was so thoroughly invested in this match. It was like a party when Stuka Jr. won the championship. These guys, the fans threw money in the ring. These guys killed it. What did you think of the match, Monroe?
Oh, it was great. And it was one of those matches where I knew of the people in their match, but didn't really know them, like haven't really paid attention to them wrestle. Besides the one, the Alchemist. I mean, I've seen him wrestle before, and I always thought it was pretty good, but never a one-on-one or a singles match. And this was a title match. And, man, I was blown away. They did some things in this match I haven't seen before. And I watch a lot of wrestling. I thought I've seen it all so far. But they did some great spots in this match. And is this Echicero is the Alchemist, right?
Yeah, I believe that's the Alchemist. I'm not 100% sure.
His entrance is so cool. He does like this. He does alchemy. Like this, he puts stuff together and it's fire and it's like, woo, you know. But it's really cool. I really like this guy. I'm a fan now.
How's that again? Woo!
Woo, you know, that type of thing. But no, this match was actually really, really good.
Yeah, Echicero is sorcerer.
Is a sorcerer or alchemist? There's a difference.
Sorcerer is what
I'm. Are you sure? Yeah. That didn't look like sorcery to me. That looked like alchemy.
That's what I'm. I don't know. I just typed it in.
Is alchemy a form of sorcery?
So
no, alchemy is like science.
Yes. Oh.
I could be wrong, but he's a fucking badass.
And yeah, he's really cool.
Like, you guys would love him. He like has all these weird movements in the ring. He's just awesome. And then he's a technical wrestler.
I want to wrestle and have people throw money in the ring after I win.
Yeah.
Hey, we did that at Progress, by the way.
Yeah, I actually threw a dollar in the ring after Flamito and Bandita. one there, Dan. Flamita and Bandido. I can't speak tonight, but
I threw a dollar in a ring one time, but it wasn't a ring.
Oh boy.
No.
So yeah, CMLL.
Easy there, Meltzer.
Oh.
What?
Just making a Meltzer joke and calling Tom Meltzer. Sexism, get it? Hey, moving on.
It's like a strip club, so it's not sexism. They're there. That's their job, buddy.
Jeez, you guys. What is happening?
Rails gone.
Yeah. Anything else you want to touch on, Monroe, before we pass it over?
I'm sure there's something, but I can't think of it.
Here, I got you. I got you. Updated Ring of Honor Death Before Dishonor card.
So okay, go ahead. I actually saw this, and I think it's going to be pretty good, especially if they can put a ROH title match at the top of this card.
So September 28th, Ring of Honor / New Japan, Death Before Dishonor. You've got Chaos versus the Bullet Club, Okada, Beretta, Ishii, Romero, and Chucky T versus the Bucks, Cody, Skrull, and Hangman Page. The ROH TV Championship, Punishment Martinez versus Chris Sabin. The tag team titles, Briscoes versus The Addiction, Jushin Liger versus a TBA, and that same TBA will be taking on Kushida.
Nice.
Double booked to be announced.
Gotta give it up to Jushin Thunder Liger. The man's like 87 years old, and he's still getting it.
It can still go.
Yes.
He's great.
Yeah, he's great. One thing I would like to point out before we move on, I remember you brought up Cody. Cody had a match, a tag team match, with Hangman Page against Juice Robinson and somebody else on the G1 final show, and Cody pinned whoever the other dude was. So Cody is going to be getting a shot against – I think Cody might have pinned Juice. So he's going to be getting a shot at the United States Championship.
Yeah, they've been trading words, so I think that's what happened, yeah.
So let's talk about this and how little sense it makes real quick. Because Juice Robinson is like one of the biggest baby faces in New Japan, right? So Cody, after this big angle where he's made up with the elite and they're all friends now and life is good and Cody is a good guy now who came to their defense and he's in the faction and he cuts like a horrible heel promo on Juice Robinson. And I don't get it. Like, why Cody? What, Cody wasn't even in the G1. Juice Robinson in the G1 lost to like five or six different
four
people.
Four or five, yeah, a lot.
Why not? Like Juice lost to Zack Sabre Jr. Why can't Zack get the title match? Why is it Cody? I don't know. I think it makes like zero sense at all, and I feel like it's just shimmying Cody into this U.S. card just to do it, and I can't stand it. That's just my two cents. I'm sorry I had to rant about that real quick.
One word, and I'll sing it. America.
Yep.
I lost my voice there for a second. Okay. One last thing of news. Daniel Bryan says he's, 90% certain to be signing with WWE. Says he hasn't re-signed yet, but it could happen as soon as the end of this week. According to Daniel Bryan's appearance on the Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast, which Sam Roberts works for WWE, so take any of this for what it's worth.
Yeah.
It's all...
Hey, Daniel, can you come do our podcast instead of that Sam Roberts guy? Because, like, we're way better.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, says John, who can't talk, and Tom, who's probably drunk.
You can leave Sideshow Bob out of this.
Yeah, come on, Daniel. We're way better.
We're way better, Daniel.
Tom will sing to you.
Oh, I was ready to do
office right now. This
I was ready to.
Oh my gosh.
One other note that I just put out there outside of the Aegis General Wrestling thing, there was a great article on ESPN.com about intergender wrestling.
about a show that was like 6 months ago. I read that earlier today.
But it was a great article.
Yeah, I'm not.
Kimberly featured in the article, by the way.
Kimberly.
And Mia. Yim.
Mia Yim?
Yep. Because it's talking about intergender wrestling and the perception that it might have against assault on women by men. And they spoke to Mia, who has been abused by a significant other. So they wanted to get her perspective on the situation as well.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, great article.
This just in, Elias's scheduled solo concert on Saturday has been canceled, according to Elias. However, he has been given the opportunity, already scheduled, to perform at SummerSlam, already scheduled.
Already scheduled?
Yep, already scheduled.
So it's going to be like before the show, after the show, and a pre-show.
I imagine it's going to be in a very highly coveted spot on the main show that, you know, could be used for an actual wrestling match.
Maybe he'll perform during the main event.
Well, do we want that? Do we even know what the main event's going to be? Because what could it be? I mean,
the assumption would be Brock and Roman, so he could perform during it.
I thought it was Alexa and Ronda.
Could be. Women's Ever-Revolution. Whatever they call it. Evolution.
Who's drunk? Who's drunk, Dave? Who's drunk?
You are. She's just got a speech impediment.
No, Hey, get off of mine. Hey.
She didn't sound drunk to me. All right.
Hello, Budweiser. I haven't had any officers this evening.
All right, so Extreme Rules was July 15th. It was almost exactly a month ago. Here was your card, and I'll break it down by roster. So SmackDown and Raw. So on SmackDown side, you had Cien Almas versus Sin Cara, who is now going in for surgery. You had Sanity versus New Day, Carmella versus Asuka, Shinsuke versus Jeff Hardy, The Bludgeon Brothers versus Team Hell No, and AJ Styles versus Rusev. On the Raw side of things, you had the B Team versus Matt and Bray. You had Finn Balor versus Constable Corbin. You had KO versus Braun Strowman. You had Lashley versus Roman. And you had Alexa versus Nia. And Dolph versus Seth. Now, my homework and research that I've been doing for the past 4 friggin' weeks. Here has been your Raw and SmackDown breakdowns since then. And John, I hope you're listening and going to chime in here, because this is for everybody. You didn't need to watch or be a fan to partake in this little conversation.
I'm here, buddy.
All right. So Raw on July 16th, the day after Extreme Rules. Now, the purpose for this was I was seeing all kinds of things, mostly retweeted by Monroe, because I don't seek these things out. But I was seeing a lot of things, and I wanted to know for myself. Most of the comments were, why are we getting the same damn thing over and 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 over again? And I wanted to know, is that actually what's happening, or is it a perception thing? Is it just because we're not getting what we want? You know, how things can get painted in the wrong light because we're upset, you know? We're fans. We want what we want. And when we don't get it, our brain can kind of be weird. I'm not saying anybody's wrong. I just wanted to see for myself. What's going on here? What are we doing? How lazy are these writers? Because I think we know they can be lazy. On Raw, on July 16th, the day after Extreme Rules, opened. Let me real quick just let you know, every Raw since Extreme Rules has opened with a promo. Because that's the formula. But this particular Raw opened with a promo that led into a number one contenders tournament type thing. 2 triple threat matches. 1 to start the show, 1 to end the show. The first match was Roman versus Finn versus Drew McIntyre. So not really a repeat from Extreme Rules there. So something different. Yay. I'm not going to go through who won. I think we kind of know at this point who did. Followed by a match between Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler, followed by a match with Tyler Breeze and Mojo Rawley. And then you had the tag team dynamic of Bayley and Sasha versus Dana and Alicia Fox, followed by B Team versus the Ascension. Yes, that Ascension.
Airtime. Awesome.
With a promo with, there was a promo somewhere in there with Matt Hardy, you know, because they lost their titles to the B Team. Follow this with an Alexa and Ronda Rousey promo, followed by Titus Worldwide and Authors of Pain having a match, followed by Ember Moon and Sarah Logan having a match, and the main event was Seth versus Elias versus Bobby Lashley, again, to decide the number one contender. Roman and Bobby would win, and they would face off with each other a week after, or Extreme Rules, after already facing each other to find out who the number one contender is. So there you go. There's that. Then SmackDown the next day. Now we're 2 days removed from Extreme Rules. There was a Jeff Hardy and Shinsuke Nakamura promo because they're going to have a rematch that they had from Extreme Rules. AJ Styles versus Cien Almas. Awesome. Refreshing. New. Cool. Mm. Becky Lynch versus Mandy Rose. Becky Lynch, that's always fun. That's all I can say. Samoa Joe versus Ty Dillinger. Also new-ish. Fun. Cool. I don't think much happened there, but Daniel Bryan and The Miz promo. Cool. We're getting what we wanted for a long time. Let's see here. Kofi Kingston versus EY. That's a cool match right there, right? Mm-hmm. On paper, SmackDown sounds awesome. except for the women, sorry. And then Shinsuke versus Jeff Hardy was the main event. And I believe that was when Randy Orton interfered and came back and beat up on Jeff Hardy because why not? All right. The following week on Raw. The Raw on July 23rd opened up with the big promo with Stephanie and Triple H. And I believe Vince was in the ring too. Announcing the Evolution pay-per-view. So all the women and all the King's horses and all the King's men were very happy. We had a match between the B-team and Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy. Followed by Sasha and Bayley taking on a local team. Because, okay. Now you have Jinder Mahal, Braun Strowman, and Kevin Owens cutting a promo together. Natalya versus Mickie James. The flashback to like 7 years ago. Titus Worldwide and Authors of Pain promo. So that's kind of a repeat. The two guys working together again, two teams. Here's a repeat from last week. Mojo Rawley and Tyler Breeze having a little series here. Of course, Tyler Breeze, I don't think, won any of them. Finn Balor versus Drew McIntyre, which would turn into Finn and Seth versus Dolph and Drew. So now we got the whole Seth and Dolph thing working again. Finn and Drew, I think, would have been fun just on its own. Ember Moon versus Liv Morgan. So Ember is taking on the Riot Squad here, one by one.
And, minus Ruby. She's hurt at this point.
At this point, yes. Yes. Roman versus Lashley would end the show. So there's your repeat from Extreme Rules. So Raw filled with a lot of repeating themes. I guess story building, I mean, you had Titus Worldwide and AOP building a story for who knows what. I don't think they're on the SummerSlam card, so I could be wrong. I'll take a look in a second, but SmackDown, July 24th, Randy Orton opens the show with a promo to explain his actions, I guess. Rusev versus Almas, which I kind of like what they're setting up with this because it's intergender stuff or mixed tag team type stuff because it gave us Lena Vega in the following week. R-Truth versus Samoa Joe because R-Truth is the one that got Ty Dillinger into trouble last week. So R-Truth has to now bite the bullet and be destroyed by Joe. Asuka versus Billy Kay. Joe and Styles got a promo together because Joe is going to be taking on AJ at SummerSlam. Becky Lynch versus Carmella. And I think that was a number one contender qualifier thing.
That was for her to get the match at SummerSlam.
Right. New Day versus Sanity. That was part of their tag team tournament thing that they're doing to decide who would take on the Bludgeon Brothers at SummerSlam. That was round one, I believe. And then the Bar and Usos were also involved. And then the show ended with a Miz and Daniel Bryan promo. So again, that's kind of repeating, but they're building that feud, which is already built, but I mean, I'll just spoil it for you. Since Extreme Rules, when they started this program, The Miz and Daniel Bryan have not wrestled since then. So they're gonna find their fisticuffs at SummerSlam, which I'm actually okay with. That's mm-hmm. That's refreshing. Instead of them fighting every week like we're getting with Seth and Dolph. Speaking of that, Raw July 30th opens with Roman Reigns promo. Yeah, let's kick the night off right. He just, you know, talking about how he's going to beat Brock this time. You know, eighth time's a charm, right? Yeah. Here's a repeat from Extreme Rules. Finn Balor versus Constable Corbin because we just love that matchup so much. Natalya versus Alicia Fox with Alexa Bliss and Ronda Rousey getting involved. And now they're going to give Bobby Lashley something to do because he is going to interrupt Elias from performing a concert. Good job, Bobby. You went from some intense stuff with Roman to the Chuckle Hut. Braun versus Jinder Mahal, Kevin and Owens being involved in that segment. So you kind of see where we're going here. Apollo Crews versus Akam of AOP. So continuing that, just breaking up the team to do some singles work there. Look at this. It's Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre. That, you know, otherwise known as Dolph Ziggler's buddy. The leader of worlds, Matt Hardy Matt Hardy and Bray versus The Revival. And then we're back to Sasha and Bayley versus the Riot Squad together. No work for Ember tonight. And then ends with the Brock promo. And that is Brock Lesnar's first appearance in 3 months on Raw.
Highlight top guys.
Yeah, Brock is a top guy. Good call. Closing out July, SmackDown, July 31st. Charlotte returns, and there's a Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, Carmella segment. The Usos take on The Bar with The New Day on commentary. Samoa Joe does a promo. There's a segment with Jeff Hardy, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Randy Orton again. Lana taking on Vega with some shenanigans from Rusev and Almas and even Aiden English as well. Another Daniel Bryan and Miz segment, and the show ends the way it started with Carmella and Charlotte Flair taking on each other with Becky Lynch being involved. So we're seeing patterns here, right?
Yeah.
Seeing a lot of repetition. I mean, some of it's to be expected. We're building stories, and some of it's just making you want to vomit. August 6th. The show opens with a Roman Reigns, Kurt Angle, Corbin promo. Roman would then get to fight Baron Corbin. Bobby Roode takes on Mojo Rawley because, you know, we gotta fill some time, I guess. Lashley and Elias have another promo. Titus takes on Rezar. Again, continuing that AOP feud with Titus Worldwide. Braun and Jinder coming out of a Kevin Owens show, the KO show segment. So that's the second time in 2 weeks that those guys fought each other. Seth Rollins versus Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre. I don't get it. The B team taking on The Revival. So tag team champions taking on The Revival. Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman were interviewed, and they showed some of that segment at this part here. Bayley and Sasha again taking on the Riot Squad, and Ronda Rousey versus Alicia Fox closes out that episode of Raw. I'm falling asleep just reading this, guys. Having to watch it, I don't know if I can do it. Randy Orton opens up SmackDown on August 7th with a promo. Becky and Charlotte take on the Iconics with Carmella hanging around. AJ Styles cuts a promo on Joe. Lana versus Vega again with some more shenanigans with Almas, Rusev, and Aiden English. A Miz promo. R-Truth versus Shinsuke. The Bludgeon Brothers versus three jobbers. Not two, but three. And then the New Day versus The Bar to decide the number one contenders for the tag team championships of SmackDown Live.
Which was a great match, by the way.
Yeah, and the New Day won. Finally, the go-home... Oh, nope. Not quite go-home yet. No, yes, it is. Go-home show of Raw, August 13th, this week. This week, guys. We're here. We made it. Ronda Rousey segment, of course, with Alexa Bliss and Alicia Fox getting involved, and her just insanely whooping up on some male security guards. I say insanely because it all looks very unsafe. Even for large security guard guys. I can't read my own handwriting. Ember Moon versus Alexa Bliss, in which Ember got the win, but I believe it was due to shenanigans. Tyler Breeze versus Baron Corbin, in which Breeze got crushed. And then you would get Balor and Braun versus Jinder and KO. That dream match. Bobby Lashley versus a man named Ricky Roberts, who is a local talent. He was Elias's number one fan. B-Team versus Revival versus Bray and Matt Hardy, not Jeff. Roman Reigns promo. Of course, with Brock and Paul Heyman getting involved. Bobby Roode and Titus Worldwide taking on Mojo and AOP. Just put that whole storyline together. Sasha versus the returning Ruby Riott with the Riott Squad and Bayley at ringside. And the show would go home with an IC title promo with Dolph, Drew, Seth, and the returning and beefy Dean Ambrose.
In great shape.
Looking chunky in a muscular way. And then finally, SmackDown. Charlotte, Becky, Carmella open the show with the promo. And then you'd have Charlotte and Becky versus Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. Bludgeon Brothers taking on three more local dudes. A very good Miz and Daniel Bryan video package. It's not as big of a package as Austin Aries' package back in the day, but... No, nobody? Okay. New Day versus Sanity. In English versus Almas with Vega, Rusev, and Lana with the shenanigans. Jeff Hardy and a Shelton Benjamin appearance. That's right, he exists. And then Randy Orton watching from backstage. And the show ended with a Joe and AJ Styles promo. So, how do we feel about the current status of week in, week out Raw SmackDown booking? Is this okay? Is this a good 4 weeks to build up to your second biggest show of the year? Or is this boring as balls?
It's more of the latter, if you ask me. I've had this feeling for a while now, and I'll say it again. I think we've been over this multiple times. It's just too much. I really do think they have too much programming. I know people like weekly wrestling television. I know people look forward to it. But I just, oh man, the burnout is so real with how much wrestling there is these days that less is absolutely more. Even sometimes, you know, during the G1, absolutely New Japan gets to the point where it's like, just, it's just too much. And that's where I feel like WWE is at. I mean, and so much of it gets to the point where it's just, it doesn't even matter. You know, like what they do is irrelevant. So I think that's an issue for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with you where it's too much. Now, would you be surprised if I told you when they invented Monday Night Raw, originally it was going to be 2 hours and Vince said, no, 2 hours is too much.
Would I be surprised? No. 'Cause I believe Vince McMahon was at one time a very, very cunning businessman who understood what wrestling fans really wanted. I don't think their market anymore really is wrestling fans. I think that WWE has kind of ventured more into, like, their goal these days to me seems more to attract casual wrestling fans and sponsors more than anything else than it is, like, actual wrestling fans.
Part of it, too, is, let's be a little fair, I'm not going to completely defend the Vince or the WWE, but part of it is the USA Network. They want want the 3 hours.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them for getting that big contract, because we all know how much money they got. So.
Yes, right. Anybody else before we talk about something really good?
Well, I guess...
I think... Go ahead, Monroe. You got it.
Well, I guess my issue with that is, I see that they were building towards SummerSlam somewhat,
mm-hmm.
which is always a great thing, especially since that's one of their biggest shows of the year. It's just, it's a lot of stuff that I just don't care about.
Sure.
And I don't think they've given me many reasons to care. Why would I care about this Alexa and Ronda match? I don't care. I don't care to see Ronda wrestle, period. And I don't care to see her as champion. So, I mean, I don't care about that match. And they haven't really given me reasons to. And I can say that about so many other things. And I think that's one of my biggest issues is, I mean, I'm not going to be here, not going to sit here and say, oh my God, I'm so mad that they're not using all my favorites. No, that's not what I'm saying.
You're a smart fan. You know, it can't always be your favorites on top.
Right.
You know that. Exactly. Yeah.
I understand that. And that's not what I'm saying.
Right,
I'm not saying,
right.
oh, they're not using my favorites and I don't care. It sucks. No, they can use people that I'm not a huge fan of if they use them correctly and give me a story, a logical story that I can follow and get into. Okay. Right. You know, I'm all for it. It's just they're doing so much and they're not really giving me a reason to care. And that's my issue with
right.
it.
Right. I look back to speak on that point. You're absolutely right. I look back at my most fun watching wrestling, and that was for me, the Attitude Era. That's just for me. Because that's right. when I was young, and that's when I became a fan again. Like, I was a fan when I was a kid, and then when I became a teenager in high school, I became a fan again when The Rock and Austin and DX and all that. Now, when I watched those shows, did I care what Val Venus was doing this week? No. But I watched because it was kind of funny. It was kind of weird. Did I care what Mabel was doing? No.
Right.
Or Viscera? Not really. You know, I don't really care, but at the same time, you know, he might be wrestling somebody I think is cool, or the match I know is only going to be 3 minutes long, so who cares? It might end in a bloodbath, so let's keep watching. So, you know, there was things I was hoping to see, and I'd end the night with, I didn't really get what I wanted, but, you know, it was still fun most of the time, and I still got to see some of my favorite people. And in this case, I'm seeing my favorite people not only just do boring things, but it doesn't look like it's fun for them either. And I understand it's a business and we're making money and stuff, but anyway, I don't know. I go on a weird path, but Tom, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I think I agree. You're building to the big card of SummerSlam, so you have to feature certain feuds and certain storylines, but at the same time, you're rehashing ones in the mid card that really people don't care about. I'm sorry, Titus Worldwide and AOP. AOP came in like a house of fire, and then all of a sudden, you know, dude had visa problems, so they had taken off TV. And this is how you're going to reintroduce them to get involved with Titus Worldwide, which is what?
Well, I gotta stop you there. I'm glad they're on TV though, and Titus Worldwide, because these are guys that I think deserve some time.
Right, but are you going to continue the same storyline for?
Well, what you to feature
said, four weeks with no SummerSlam payoff. Why right. put that much effort into it?
That's the problem. You got two matches where they were featured together, right. two singles matches, and then a you know, you pair a random single star with both teams, and it's like, well, now
I'll give you $5. They'll be again on Monday night, on the SummerSlam post show. They will the Raw post show. They'll face each other again.
It's possible.
Yeah. Because they're not on SummerSlam. They'll do it on Raw. This will be your big payoff, as Vince calls it. But there's guys that we like, and there's guys that, you know, we think should be in certain positions. But I like to, and this is hard for me because there's some I like and there's some I don't. But I always try to find the silver lining. There's every Monday night, every Tuesday night, there's something I find at least that I enjoy. So I don't walk out of it thinking, oh, this is just an incredible waste of my time. All the time. So, I don't know. I don't like the booking at all. I don't like the storytelling on a lot of situations. Like, even the Joe AJ storyline lost me. Why did it have to get personal? How about it just be these guys know each other from throughout the business and go beat the hell out of each other in a match that we know can be great?
Yeah.
Don't put so much soap opera drama into it that it just totally dilutes the fact that these are two of the best in the business.
Speaking of, I got a note from your wife, Tom, and no, I'm just kidding. That was part of the promo from Joe last week. You got a letter from AJ's wife.
Yeah, I know. I was about to say, what'd she say?
I didn't think that far enough ahead to think of something funny, but, all right. Well, my last question before we move on to our predictions, does anybody think, and who knows when or if it'll ever happen, if Triple H was running the main roster, would it be better?
You know, that's really hard to say.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like we may have the storylines may be a little bit more logical, and they may be even more entertaining, but it's still the same company.
Right.
And that business is not changing. Their outlook and their goals, that's not changing. They still have shareholders and all this other stuff. That's still the business.
Right.
So that part isn't changing. So a lot of it isn't going to change when Triple H takes over. I just don't know how much of it.
Sure.
That's the thing.
I did forget to mention Renee Young. Great job on Raw. Was awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah. She did a great job.
I'm not surprised at that. She's actually a really, really great.
Oh, no. No, not surprised at all. I was happy with it, and I knew. It was good. And here's to hoping she gets more opportunities, because I would rather listen to her talk than Coach or Cole or all of them. All right. Should we move on? Should we wrap up here with the predictions and then get out of here?
Well, I'll say this about the Triple H thing. I think if he is given control, with where he can just handle things how he wants to. I get what Monroe's saying about it being the corporate conglomerate that it is, so they have to answer to certain things. But if Triple H could just book it his way, I've seen what he's done with NXT. We've seen what he's done with NXT. We've seen how he's turned around 205. I think if he were to be able to have full control, I think he could turn this around to be a much more enjoyable product.
All right. John, any input, or should we move on?
I pretty much said, I mean, as far as Triple H in the future, I mean, if he can like maybe shave a few hours off of Raw. Yeah. I mean, maybe, cause like NXT works so great in the format that it's in.
Right.
So I think that's the direction that like less is more. That's the direction they should be going in.
What's fun with weekly NXT shows is it leaves you wanting more.
Yeah.
And that's the key to any entertainment, right? Leave them wanting more.
Absolutely.
And that's why that's the end of the show. Good night, everybody.
Right?
No, we promised predictions sure to be wrong, and that's what we're going to do right now. NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 4 is on Saturday, and my buddy Josiah, my nephew, is coming over to watch it with me finally.
Yeah, Josiah.
So
Brooklyn.
Birthday shout out. It was his birthday this past week. Kid's 14 now. I'm going to die.
Wow.
And so we're going to hang out on Saturday. We're going to play some video games. We're going to order up a pizza, and we're going to watch some TakeOver together.
Big Gargano fan, right?
Yeah, he's going to, if he still fits in that shirt, because he's grown, he's getting bigger, taller. So if he still fits into it, he's going to be wearing that shirt over to my house.
And if it's going to be anything like last time, he's going to bring 18 teas.
Right. Lemonades.
Oh, lemonade. I thought it was lemonade tea. I thought it was
lemonade. Oh, it might have been. But I'm gonna get him to be a Adam Cole fan too. I'm gonna get him. I think he's gonna dig that match. Anyway, all right. So let's talk about it. I'm excited for TakeOver 4. I'm always excited for TakeOver Brooklyn 4.
Always
pumped for TakeOver. And Brooklyn is usually a good TakeOver show. It's been a year since Adam Cole made his debut at Brooklyn last year in prime fashion. That was awesome. Mm-hmm. So, all right, let's start things off. The scorecards that I'm reading from are from our friends at Pro Wrestling Scorecards. Love the design. Always nice, crisp, clean designs. The SummerSlam card looks amazing, by the way. They've added a few features to their scorecards, but check them out and follow them on Twitter and all that stuff, at PW Scorecards. Use these cards for your pay-per-view parties, and trust me, it'll at least make SummerSlam tolerable when you're watching it with your friends, because it'll be a very long show, and this might make it interesting. Probably not, but it'll help. Alcohol. Kids, if you're old enough, alcohol will help make SummerSlam interesting. But TakeOver, you can just watch sober, because that'll be fun. EC3 versus Velveteen Dream. John, who you got?
I'm going to go with EC3 debut win.
Are you guys watching, Monroe and John? Are you going to watch that one live?
I don't think so. I don't know if I'm going to watch it live. We'll see.
Okay. All right, Monroe?
This one's actually kind of tough. I mean, do you have EC3 lose, you know, now? But Velveteen is just so hot right now.
Yeah.
But he's lost already, too, though, so...
Dream's lost a lot.
so I'm going to go with EC3.
All right. Are you going to watch it live or again later?
I'm not sure. There is a tag match I want to see, but other than that, I'm not sure.
Gotcha. All right, Tom?
Two of my favorites on the roster, so this should be fun. I actually have EC3 going over because I think all signs point to Dream getting the call-up.
Really?
I do.
Maybe, yeah, the NXT roster is fairly stacked on the men's side. And there might, all the rosters are pretty loaded right now, or full, but who knows. Yeah, a superstar shakeup is probably due if they continue down those schedules.
Wow.
But usually, I mean, after a big takeover, there's like one or two call-ups, aren't there?
Mm-hmm. Usually.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. I'm going to go EC3 because I think they're going to start to build that legacy there. Get him his first singles win. And if I'm thinking logically, or I guess not logically, but as a booker, Dream doesn't need the win. If you want to look at it that way. All right. Now the rest are all just championship matches. Tag Team Championship, the Undisputed Era taking on Mustache Mountain. We'll start with Monroe because it sounds like this is what she's waiting for.
Yeah, but I don't know who's going to win that one. I had so much fun watching not just Mustache Mountain, British Strong Style, you know, at that Progress show. Man, they are great. Trent Seven is hilarious. If you guys never seen him wrestle live, he's hilarious.
Tyler Bate's good, too. Don't discredit him. He's
Oh,
awesome.
Yeah, the whole towel thing, sure. But I just think Trent Seven is just so funny. He had me cracking up the lucha spot. Remember that? God, that was
funny. Of course I do. Absolutely.
Little sidebar. It's just weird to me that he dates Liv Morgan.
Who?
Bate.
Bate?
It just seems like a weird matchup. I don't know why. Huh?
You think so?
Personalities. I don't know. For whatever reason, it doesn't seem like it mixes. But hey, if they're happy, they're happy. That's cool.
That's right. Okay, so... as far as who's going to win this, geez, I have no idea. But I'm going to go with Mustache Mountain.
Taking it back? All right.
Taking it back.
All right. Tom?
I think I'm going to go with Undisputed retaining on this one.
We're still a long way from Bobby Fish returning, so I don't think we'll see him get involved. But do you think Adam Cole gives him a hand?
I'm going to go no on this one because he has his own match coming up. So I don't think it... Well, no. I don't think he will.
All right. I think I'm going to say Era retains here. I'd like Mustache Mountain to kind of maintain a push because it seemed like them losing the titles was kind of odd. But either way, it's going to be a great match. What do you think, John?
Let me think about this. Who is challenging for the women's title tonight? Or not tonight, but, you know.
Baszler and Sane.
Okay, so I think there's going to be a title change. I'm going to say that Undisputed Era retains.
I see what he's doing here. All right. Cool.
He's got the championship algorithm going.
Yes, right. I have a mathematical equation.
There you go.
He broke out the abacus. Let's go.
The North American Championship on the line. Adam Cole defending against King Ricochet. What do you think, Tom?
This is a tough one because I really think that they're going to strap the rocket to Ricochet.
Well, let me.
I don't know if they're ready to do it in lieu of maybe moving Adam to the world title, to the NXT title picture.
Well, hold on. This might help you out here because, so the Edge and Christian podcast has this knack of having a guy on before big matches and then they get rocket strapped, they called it. And it started with Jinder. They had him on and then what? He's the WWE champion? And then it just kept happening, these random things. Last week, Ricochet was on. So, just saying.
I don't know that I hold much credence to that theory, but you and I have talked about it. I think Ricochet is really the next big thing as in WWE as a whole. He's going to be that guy. I don't know how quick it's going to happen. But Adam Cole is that guy 2.0. How you move him now to the world title picture? All right, I'm going to call it. Ricochet wins, and Adam Cole then moves to the world title picture. There it is. I did it.
Fair enough.
I talked myself into it.
Good job. Yeah, I'm going Ricochet here for similar ideas, but I think it's more of to get a title on Ricochet and then let him now build his character because we haven't gotten to see him much character-wise. We know he's probably one of the best athletes on this roster. But now we want to see some personality and character. I think this is the start of that. And we know Adam Cole's got both in spades. So I think this is now, let's see what Ricochet can do type time.
Let me sidebar this. Match of the night. I'm calling now.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say these first three have a good chance of being...
Yeah, I mean, this is a whole match of the night card.
Well,
really.
let's be careful here.
Except the women. I mean, we never equate that. As long as Shayna Baszler's involved, we never involve
that. I mean,
that.
Anything could happen with Kyrie, like, carrying a match, but, you know, we'll see.
Woman's still there.
She sure is. Monroe, who you got? North American Championship.
I think Tom is right. I think Adam Cole is going to be pushed to the heavyweight title picture soon. So I'm going to go Ricochet.
All right.
Because I just see in my head Ricochet. I know he's not going to get a title shot probably, but Ricochet versus Oney Lorcan, please. So
ooh.
Oney Lorcan can knock him out of the air.
Wow.
I need that now.
Wow.
Are you a Ricochet fan or you just want to see that?
I just want to see that because I love Oney Lorcan. But no, I don't have anything against Ricochet.
You just want to see his head get knocked off.
That's all.
You could call that the fly swatter.
Do
you guys know how Ricochet sails? He sails like he's dying.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I can just see Oney Lorcan just forearming him out of a flip, and he can just like...
Keep this in mind. Ricochet already sells like an animal, and he's been learning from HBK. So it's only going to get crazier. So, John, what do you think?
I am going to go with Adam Cole retaining.
Oh, all right. All right. The wild card here. I like it. All right. The women's championship match. Shayna Baszler versus Kairi Sane. It's my turn. I am going to go with the title change here. I think it's time. Please, God.
Yes, please
God, make it time. Kairi Sane's time. Let's get this women's division back in order here. And you know, somebody with character, somebody who's entertaining and somebody who's enjoyable, and who can wrestle, and you know, all those things that Shayna is not. I can't bash the woman entirely. She must be doing something right. I don't see it, but she must be doing something right. She has fans. So, but I just, Kairi Sane to me is on a completely another level. And this is a rematch from the Mae Young finals, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So that's kind of fun. Should be a cool video package leading into this match. But yeah, I got Kairi. Kairi becoming a champion. What do you think, Monroe?
Man, that would be so weird to see Kairi Hojo as a champion.
And what if Io or Io comes out and after either just to congratulate her or and then lay her out?
Probably to lay her out. Io
what if
is my
both?
Favorite,
so. I see it like a Sami Zayn KO thing, you know.
That would be great. I just don't call her Io anymore.
Sorry, I know it's Io. I don't know why I said Io.
I don't know either, but let's not let that happen again.
Io won't.
She's gonna grill you.
Io won't.
That title change needs to happen here. I know Shayna is my best friend.
Oh yeah,
and I know
you guys
she loves me just as much as I love her.
Twitter buds.
But honestly, I'm sorry, Shayna. You just don't do it for me, and I just need you to go away. Poof. So yeah, I hope Kairi wins.
All right, John.
So I think Io Shirai is not winning the Mae Young Classic.
No, she's
I
not.
I don't see her coming out and challenging Kairi. Which leads me to think that Shayna may have a chance at retaining here, but I'm going to go with Kairi as the first title change for the night.
All right, cool. All right, that leaves us, Tom had to step away for a second, so we'll have to come back and get his prediction for that. So the main event, potentially, I don't really know what it could be, but the NXT Championship Last Man Standing match, Johnny Gargano versus Tommaso Ciampa. Excuse me, but before we do that, do you think there will be any new roster people in the crowd tonight? It's a big one, so I imagine there's got to be somebody sitting in the crowd during this event. Any guesses?
Well, my only guess would be Riddle.
Riddle, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I don't know who else, unless it's like a surprise signing that we don't know about.
Yeah, which doesn't happen anymore.
No, it doesn't really happen. Nothing is a surprise. So.
I think it would be cool after the whole Triple H sign Mia Yim thing if she's in the crowd.
That would be cool. She really wants to get signed, especially since everybody in her house is signed already.
Right.
Her dog.
Her dog so. Probably gets signed.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see. Can't think of anyone else.
Yeah, all I can think of is Riddle, too. So
even Marty's girl will be there.
Right, right. Cody.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can't really think of anybody else who it could be. I mean, I think they got to do
it. I know who's going to be. I know.
Yeah?
Chase Owens.
Yeah. Joey Ryan.
I'm serious. Chase Owens was signing a contract on Instagram.
Jewel heist.
That's what it was. It was WWE.
Yeesh.
Sorry, guys.
Who's your pick for the women's title?
I want to say Kari, because I'm with you guys. It's time to move this along, because no one's been happy with Shayna as a champion.
Well, at least not on this show.
Well,
true. All right, then. Last man standing match, Gargano, Ciampa 3. 1, 2, 3, 4. I start. So we're back at Monroe. Who you got?
This is really difficult. This show.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Gargano getting his moment in the sun.
I think it would be a cool moment. I think it's one of those HBK crying with the title type moments.
Oh, boy. Boy, his dream, huh?
I'm not going to. Well, you know, without saying that, yes. Did you see what he got? Did you see what that kid got for his birthday this past week?
Yeah.
On Instagram?
Did.
Man, he's got a nice wife.
What was it? Some kind of cake?
No, he got some toys, man. Let me pull that up. John, what's
all
your...
All kinds of Marvel swag.
Yeah, he always gets Marvel stuff. I'll pull it up in here. What do you think, John?
You mentioned call-ups. Johnny Gargano is one of them. Tommaso Ciampa's winning.
Oh.
And Johnny Gargano is going to 205 Live.
I don't like that.
Real quick, congrats to AJ Styles for being the longest reigning WWE champion in SmackDown history.
There you go.
Because this is the house that AJ Styles built.
That's what he says.
And he says it frequently. Tom, your pick?
Okay, I have a theory on this one. I don't think we're done. I think...
Round four?
Yes. And hear me out.
No.
I think we have not gotten the biggest match out of this yet. I think it's time for NXT to have their own Hell in a Cell or something.
Oh, jeez.
I think this last man standing is neither man answers
the goodness.
Call.
Neither one. Okay.
They beat the piss out of each other to the point where neither one gets God. Up. And
look,
we have to do it one more time inside either a Hell in a Cell or a cage, some kind of confine.
Monroe.
Maybe a one-on-one war games for these two. I don't know. I just thought of that.
Monroe, did I not say to you while we were together that they are going to do Johnny Gargano versus Tommaso Ciampa in a Hell in a Cell?
Yeah, that's exactly what he said.
That was my prediction, and I think they're going to do it Madison Square Garden weekend to try and compete with, or WrestleMania weekend to try and compete with Ring of Honor at MSG.
I would, John, you and I are on the same wavelength right there.
So, wow. Okay, real quick. Gargano got a Green Ranger helmet replica, which I own too. Good job. Black Panther helmet replica.
Nice.
Also awesome. Two Marvel Studios Legends packs. One with, looks like Iron Man, Thanos, and Doctor Strange. And then a Hulkbuster suit with Hulk as well. A Funko Pop of Baloo from Tailspin.
Ooh, no.
Baloo. It's not Baloo, but what is his name?
It is Baloo.
That's what I said. Baloo, it's from Tailspin, though.
That's his name, isn't it?
That's what I said.
Okay, I said, aw.
Oh, I thought you said no. Okay, okay.
Oh, no,
okay.
It was cute.
All right.
I thought you were trying to trick her into something. No, it's like, still
what's,
blue.
What's,
no,
happen- what's happening here? What a waste of time I just did. A pair of Nikes, I don't know, shoes, so they're cool. A giant Batwing from Batman the Animated Series.
Wow.
Two Spider-Man action figures, which I had both of these back in the 90s, Mysterio and Chameleon. The Chameleon one's awesome because the head pops off and you got different heads that pop onto it. The only thing is it's this different heads on his costume, so it's like, that's not Jonah Jameson, that's Chameleon's costume, but whatever. Yeah, those are all cool. And he just turned 31. So happy birthday, Gargano, and I believe there's many other birthdays this past week in the world of wrestling. So
like
what?
Three a day, man.
Yeah. So yeah, where were we? Who picked? Everybody picked except me?
I think you. Yep. The only one left.
Oh, boy.
I just had another thought, but, you know, it's okay.
Go ahead.
Well, what if it started where it ended? What if it ends where it started? Have a ladder match where they finally, because that's where the injury happened. That's where the hatred and all the turning happened. I don't, oh man, there's so many ways you can go with this, but I don't think it's going to end. I really do not. I think this is
fight.
I'm calling no contest in this one.
Weird. it's just weird to me. Okay. So
keep them wanting more.
I'm going, boy. I want Gargano to win the title, but I think it's going to be Ciampa. I think this style of match, it's just too much in Ciampa's wheelhouse for like formidable heelish foe type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And for Gargano to knock him out, I mean, Ciampa's done his best to turn Gargano into this weird type of person who's not Gargano anymore. And it's been a cool story to see him be a little more aggressive and these kinds of things. And we keep kind of wondering, is Candace going to get involved and somehow accidentally cost him the match, or get involved and you know go at Ciampa and we get some intergender stuff, which would be cool, which that it legally could happen in this, right? I mean,
yeah
last man standing is no DQ, right?
Yeah,
so yeah,
we know she can handle it.
Wait, no,
yeah.
Last man standing is, there's DQ in that.
No. Last man standing is you have to answer the 10 count. You can do anything.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I was thinking of something else. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
So it's just got to answer that 10 count.
Because remember, the original plan was to have this at Money in the Bank, but because they announced Shinsuke,
right, it went
and
to Shinsuke.
AJ,
yeah.
To be...
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And this originally also was supposed to be that triple threat. So.
Right.
With poor Aleister Black.
Poor Aleister. Or somebody backstage called him Allie. I was like, don't ever call him Allie ever again.
That's not right. That's just... Anyway, yeah, I'm going to go with Ciampa. Wow, we are almost at 2 hours already. All right, we're going to cruise through the SummerSlam card. Just picking.
It's cruisable.
Yeah, we're just picking. All right, here we go, SummerSlam. Rusev and Lana versus Almas and Vega. Monroe.
I'm gonna go Vega and Almas.
All right, John.
I am gonna go Vega and Almas as well.
Nice. Tom.
Almas and Vega day.
All right, that's a clean sweep on that one. All right, Finn Balor and Baron Corbin again.
Who did you say, Dave?
Clean sweep. I'm going Almas and Vega too. We all picked the same one.
Gotcha.
So Balor and Corbin, Monroe.
Oh boy, probably yeah. Corbin.
Yeah, John.
Yeah, Corbin.
Tom.
Wait, Corbin, yeah. And who?
Balor.
Oh, Finn Balor.
All right, Tom.
Are we ever gonna see the demon again?
No.
I'm never gonna go. I don't think we are. I really don't.
No.
I'm going to go with Finn Balor.
Boy, I want Finn to win, so I'm going to say Finn. But I just have that feeling that he's not going to, because why should he?
See, this would be an awesome time. The demon comes out and just scares the shit out of Corbin. Yeah. It's like, oh, I didn't expect this.
Even though he should. Daniel Bryan versus The Miz. Monroe?
I don't know about this one. I think if Miz wins, then we know Daniel Bryan is leaving.
Oh.
I'm going to go with Miz winning.
Wow. Okay. John?
Oh, boy. I'm going to go with, well, this is a tough one. I think the feud continues. Miz wins.
Yeah, I do too. I don't think it's over here. Tom?
I definitely don't think it's over. This has been building since that's talking smack.
No, this has been building since NXT.
Well, yes, but the real fire of it started at talking smack with the coward comments. So I think Miz wins clean.
Wow. As long as if this continues, we don't get Daniel and Brie versus Miz and Maryse. I just don't want.
Oh, I don't know. I feel like that's coming.
That's a WrestleMania thing right there, buddy. That's definitely. Maybe Daniel and Brie will propose again. Who knows? Because they did just renew Total Bellas. Yay! I'm going with D. Bry getting the win. Yeah, that's the ticket. Money in the Money in the Bank contract match. Winner gets the contract. Braun Strowman versus Kevin Owens. Monroe.
Braun Strowman for sure.
Gian.
I had someone outside of Progress. Monroe can attest to this, who was just so sure that Kevin Owens was going to walk away with that briefcase.
Yeah.
Because much like Tom says, he said he didn't need it. Right.
That's what I said when he won the stupid thing, and I was there.
So I think Braun Strowman retains the briefcase. And I think it's because of something that happens later in the night we'll talk about.
Interesting. Tom?
I would personally like to see KO win this because I don't think Braun needs it.
So say we
and
all.
I think it's an interesting aspect to add to the Kevin Owens character. But I don't see there's any way. I think it's just going to be Braun. This has all been a lead up and it's stupid.
It's stupid. I would love KO to win it. And then when Jericho comes back and they have a feud again, Kevin can say, hey, remember that match you created, Money in the Bank? I actually won it. You never won it.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
Even though he never won it in the Money in the Bank, but
is this just a singles match or is it for that contract?
It's a singles match for the contract.
Right. If Braun loses by disqualification, count out, however, he loses the briefcase.
I see.
Yeah, I think Corbin got that.
And Stephanie approved it.
Yes, it was Stephanie approved. Yeah, I'm going to go KO. I'm going to say that I'm going to be like Progress Guy.
Okay.
That's what we'll call him from now on, is Progress Guy.
Progress Dude. All right, the SmackDown Tag Team titles, man. New Day versus Bludgeon Brothers. Monroe. I don't know why the Jamaican accent. I was just...
Maybe because it was Kofi's birthday.
Yeah, there we go. He turned 132, apparently.
Yeah.
Not Jamaican.
What are you talking about? He's from Kingston.
I'm going to go with the New Day.
Oh, becoming your sixth-time tag team champion?
Oh, yeah.
All right. John?
I'm going with the Bludgeon Brothers.
All right.
Total domination.
Listening to Rowan, I believe it was, on Edge and Christian's podcast, I was not expecting that voice from that man.
What's his voice like?
It just got softer. Like, it's like, what? This isn't right.
Like Samatonga's?
Yeah, a little bit. Not as high, though. just soft-spoken, I guess. I expected, I guess, more gruff, I guess. More grizzled. Tom?
I'm going to go outside my norm here, and I'm going to pick the New Day because I don't like the titles on Legend Brothers. I don't like it at all. I think the New Day can work so many good matches with the rest of the other tag teams than the Bludgeon Brothers can.
Hey, you guys remember the club?
I do, and that's kind of one of the two I'm referring to.
Well, I'm just saying, I remember them.
Don't worry, they're gonna show up as a firing squad soon.
Congratulations to old Carl Anderson and his hot Asian wife for their new baby.
Ah, congrats.
Was that a prediction, Tom?
And his abs, too. Yeah, I'm going to say it's going to happen soon. That I think I don't know how long the contract is. I don't know if it was as long as AJ's, but it's got to be January, maybe February. So I don't know that they're going to stick around.
Really?
Wow.
I'm pretty sure they are. And that's only just because of the family time.
Yeah. I agree.
There is that Dave. Factor, but
yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they went back because, you know, everything is, you know, that they left on good terms and those guys all still love each other. But yeah. I feel like they've gotten, you know, so close. He's home all the time with his kids.
Right.
And I think he loves that so much. So I would be surprised. And that's good on him. That's awesome for him.
I only said it from a, you know,
yeah, I gotcha.
Creative idea, which would be, could you imagine
sure.
that? Yeah, I know John can't. John just got excited. That's why he commented.
Serious?
These guys come out? Really? What?
It would breathe some life into it, but I don't know if I'd be excited about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I like them, but I was never really huge on Gallows and Anderson.
Except for when they worked with Maria.
Except for when they first showed up in WWE.
That was
and
cool.
I thought that they were going to do the whole, I don't know, I thought those guys were going to be like a huge threat. They debuted real strong, and then they just kind of like fart and win.
They had this invasion type thing coming.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool, and then nothing happened.
Yeah, that's because they ran into the Roman. I'm going
to
go with...
It's hard to fight in an empire, Dave.
Yeah.
True.
Also, I heard somebody say fart in the wind. I don't know if you watched the Venom trailer. It's now a turd in the wind, apparently. which is the dumb. I don't really understand what a turd in the wind is. I think Mr. Tom Hardy doesn't know the lingo. But I'm going to go New Day on this one. All right. Raw Tag Team Champions. Here we go. The B Team versus The Revival. Monroe, we know you're the biggest Revival fan, so start us off here.
I do like The Revival. Are you being sarcastic?
No, I know you liked them. I was just picking on Tom.
Oh. let's give the top guys a chance, finally, please.
Oh, it's like the Divas thing. Let's give the Divas a chance.
Sure.
Remember that?
I do.
It started our revolution. Thanks, Bellas.
And Stephanie.
Yeah, right. They did it. All of them.
All
right, John, who do you got?
Oh, geez. Oh, man, I want to see the Revival win, but I just... Oh, nothing's really indicated to me that they're ready to do that yet. I'll say the Revival. I hope they get this win.
Get that rub?
For once.
Yeah.
Let's get a good direction for this tag team division, please.
Please.
All right, Tom.
God, I want to say it so bad. I want to put the top guys in here, but
holy crap,
they've been screwed at every turn.
Sorry, I just looked at the score of my Packer game and I was astounded. Sorry, go ahead. It's 51-28.
Are you winning?
Yes. It's preseason though, so I'm trying not to get carried away. All right, go ahead, Tom. I'm sorry.
As a Browns fan, this is what we live for.
Because you did get a win.
I did, yeah. Woo!
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Well played. I want to say top guys, but I don't want to get excited about it because I thought they should have won. It would have been a great moment to win on Monday night, to do it and then go in and maybe have a title defense here at SummerSlam. Where these are two guys who beat the team of Bobby Lashley and Roman Reigns. They got the little rub to get that little feud going, but then they disappeared for a while. So I still think this is the best complete tag team, old school style for me on the roster. And I want them to win the titles, but I just don't think it's going to happen. There's something they've done, something in Vince's mind that they are not worthy. And it pains me.
Okay.
So who's winning?
B team.
I'm gonna go with the Revival here. I think they pull the trigger, and this is where we get to see what they can do.
I will be screaming, jumping for joy, running around the house if that happens.
I hope it happens just so you can do that.
Tom, are you gonna be watching that live?
I believe I am.
Are you gonna be watching it with Josiah and myself?
I believe I am.
Oh, well, then maybe we'll have to turn on his webcam, Monroe. All right. So, okay. The United States Championship match. Wait a minute. What? This is really the match? I really thought it would be... Okay. It's Shinsuke versus Jeff Hardy. I really thought Randy Orton was going to be taking on Jeff Hardy in some kind of fashion here.
Oh, but he will.
Yeah, they'll get involved, I'm sure. Oh, my God. What was these 4 weeks all about? I don't understand.
It was about putting his thumb in the gauges and pulling him. Even my daughter was like, oh, my God, that's brutal.
Man, I was at Hot Topic picking up some Funko Pops because that's all I buy at Hot Topic. And that guy had some huge gauge holes. Like, just...
Did you think about pulling them like Randy
Absolutely
did?
Not. Absolutely not. I just didn't want to look at them. They just made me kind of cringe.
Hey, man, can I do this one time and see how it feels? Because I saw it on TV.
I could have fit my pork chop from Doug Funko Pop through his gauge holes.
Gross.
It was really gross.
Oh, pork chop.
Yeah, it flocked, too. He's all fuzzy. Yeah, Shinsuke and Jeff Hardy, part two. What do you got, Monroe?
I guess Shinsuke. I don't know.
He's doing some weird stuff on Instagram right now. It's pretty funny, actually.
Is he really?
Yeah, go check that out. Go check that out, eh? John, what do you
drunk tonight? I love it.
What do you got? I'm on water. I'm just exhausted. John, what do you got?
I am going with the King of Dong style, Shinsuke Nakamura.
Good lord. Tom?
I'm going with RKO out of nowhere.
So Shinsuke.
I don't even care who wins, really. But probably gonna be Shinsuke. Yeah.
Well, I think Jeff would win via DQ, so the title doesn't change hands.
You can't finger somebody's gauges and not go into a feud with them.
Easy, man. Jeez. This is a family.
Keep it PG, Tom.
This is a family show.
It's the ears, bruh. Come on.
I am going to say...
Shinsuke's been low-blowing people, and you're talking about fingering gauges? Come on,
I did just call him the King of Dong style.
King
so
of
we're
Dong
kinda...
style. Come on. I'm not the bad guy here.
That's right. I am the bad guy.
Oh, I heard a toothpick.
Yes, there you go. You got it.
Say hello to the bad guy.
We are all drunk on exhaustion from this card.
Pretty much.
I am going to pick a big who cares and move on. Intercontinental champion. No, I'll say Shinsuke returns, but also big who cares. Intercontinental championship. Dolph Ziggler with Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins and the Lunatic Fringe. Renee Lunatic Young's husband.
Fringe. Swold Lunatic Fringe.
Swole.
Monroe, who you got?
I got a... Who is it again?
Dolph and Seth.
Shit.
Whoa.
Sorry.
With the Scott on the outside and the Swole on the outside.
Dolph and who?
Scottish Drew McIntyre.
I'm going to go with... Is this a title match?
Oh, yeah.
That's so dumb. I'm going to go with Dolph retaining and Drew probably do something so they can fight each other.
Oh, the turn already, huh?
Maybe. I don't know.
All right, John?
Since they don't have anything going for Seth, I'm going to say Seth wins.
I have an idea, and I bet you Tom's going to say it now. But Tom, what's your prediction?
I have Seth winning to lead to a Dean turn later.
Interesting, because I have Seth losing due to the Dean turn on SummerSlam.
You think it's going to happen this quick?
Yes, I do. Because I need something.
I would not be mad at that.
No.
I would not.
He didn't look...
I would rather see that feud for the title. Am I wrong?
True. No, you're right. You're right. You're right.
Instead of seeing Drew and Dolph for the title, can't we get Seth and Dean? Because that's like the feud.
So I guess then maybe he helps Seth win and then...
Only to turn on him.
Right,
okay,
right.
That.
Which I think then the turn would be tomorrow. Or on Raw, I should say. I think they, you know, they do the little celebration deal.
That's not bad. I don't mind that. I'm not a Dean fan at all.
Just seeing Dean's demeanor I mean, it could just be the whole intimidation and I'm back and ready to fight, but he didn't look happy really to be there. So, you know, I don't play second fiddle to anybody. I'm Dean Ambrose, man. That was my impression. That's pretty good. All my impressions involve saying the person I'm impersonating, saying their name so that you know who I'm impersonating.
But they all sound the same.
Yeah. Okay. Hi, I'm Vince McMahon. or here, this is a British one. Hello, I'm Donald Trump. See, that's pretty good, right? Yeah. All right. Apparently, the scorecard also has Elias's performance on here on the scorecard, which is pretty great. The performance of the show, and is there an altercation in between? Yeah, of course, he's never going to finish. Bobby Lashley's going to come out and do something.
Why couldn't this just be a match? I mean, when there's only 18 matches on the card, but you could fit a 19th. Come on.
Sure you could. We're on page 2 of the scorecard, and it's 2 hours into the show. Let's roll. Let's keep rolling here. Cruiserweight. The Cruiserweights made the pay-per-view, guys.
Shut up.
For now.
I thought they were on the pre-show.
That hasn't been announced. The pre-show hasn't been announced yet, so there's still time.
Oh, shut up. Somewhere, one mentioned Neville is like, what the
hell? What if Neville what if they get on the main show and Neville interrupts the match and just lays out Cedric Alexander?
Oh, son. Turn it off. Just stop.
Turn it off.
I'm done. The show's over. I don't need to see anymore.
All right. Anyway, Cruiserweight Championship, Cedric Alexander versus Drew Gulak, who, if you didn't know, Drew actually trained Kimber Lee from that article that Tom was talking about earlier.
Look at that. It all comes
full circle to Tom's interruptions. Monroe.
Cruiserweight, Drew Gulak.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. I think that maybe then we'll get our Mustafa Ali run after that.
Maybe.
Post Cedric Alexander's run. John?
Oh, yeesh.
Bears.
Cedric. Yeah, I'm thinking. That's my thinking sounds. Cedric.
All right. Sounds good. Tom?
I'm going Cedric because I think the lead up to this is going to be Cedric versus Leo as your big build.
Wow. Leo already?
Yeah.
All right.
I think that's your high-flying cruiserweight match that they think everybody wants to see. I would like to see that. That'd be pretty
cool. I didn't know who that was. I'm like, who the hell is Leo?
Did you see on Instagram Leo Rush and then Ricochet and the Street Profits at a 90s party?
I saw that.
That was awesome.
That was hilarious.
So good. They did not break character ever. It was fantastic. They were Run DMC, right?
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And plus Leo Rush. There's 3 in Run DMC.
There's 3.
Yeah. And then Leo Rush had like white Adidas on. They all had black. I'm going to say Cedric Alexander, and we're going to move on. Women's SmackDown Triple Threat Championship match. Carmella, Charlotte, Becky Lynch, Monroe.
Oh, man. I think Charlotte is going to win.
All right. Exactly. John?
Carmella.
Oh, interesting and also upsetting. John? I'm sorry, Tom?
Now that Monroe said Charlotte, I'm like, I don't know. That could be. Okay. I'm going to say Charlotte, which now leads to the Becky finally heel turn.
I'm just going straight up Becky. It's got to happen for my girl. It's got to happen. Please.
I think there was such build up for this for her, and then all of a sudden Charlotte gets in. Yeah.
Plus,
one way or another, I think she's turning a heel.
She's actually admitted on a podcast that she was disappointed Charlotte got added to her match. So that could be the start of that.
Could be kayfabe, too.
Could also be kayfabe. I mean, I would be upset, too. My tea-loving friend stealing my spotlight. What?
I am upset that she was added.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I
and I think she would win it before either of the other women in the match.
Oh.
Remember when we were kids and we didn't know what kayfabe was?
Yeah.
No, I don't. Women's Championship Raw, Alexa Bliss versus Ronda Rousey. Everyone goes to the bathroom. Monroe.
Alexa?
Oh, God, I hope so. I bet you there's not that many people out there that like the women's division that want Alexa to actually win this match. And this will be the first time they root for Alexa.
Yeah.
John? I don't think anything I said in that sentence made sense, by the way.
I think actually Alexa Bliss is going to win this one.
Wow. Okay. Tom?
Because I think Ronda... Oh, well, sorry. Yeah.
Hey, John, working out, John.
Because I'm thinking, what if they want to have her win that thing at Evolution, but then I'm also thinking she's probably going to have to headline Evolution, so...
Yeah.
I'm going to say Ronda Rousey wins the title, actually, and she's the face of everything. Forever.
Yay. They're going to pull AJ off the cover of that 2K19 and put Ronda right on there.
Exactly.
Yep. She'll be the first woman on the cover, probably.
Yeah, I saw her screenshot today. Whoop-de-doo. Tom?
I want to go with Alexa because I do so too. Many
where,
people...
Do you want to know where on... I want to, do you want to know where I want to go with Alexa? Everywhere.
TGI Fridays.
No.
What? What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Nothing.
No, I've been reading the Twitter stuff. Is just, it's crazy about the blonde bombshells that are running their women's division. That Alexa and Carmella. Okay, Carmella is one part. Alexa at least has some kind of ability. But you want to, you really want, these people really want to take the title from Alexa to put it on Ronda? Really? Is that where you want to go with this? So you're going to go with taking it from Alexa to give it to Ronda, who has done literally nothing and still does not look good to me at all in anything. The hip toss on the security guards even looked bad. So I want this to stay on Alexa, and Ronda needs to sit and still learn.
Ronda's attack on Alicia Fox left me very, very scared for Alicia Fox.
I was scared for Alicia. I really was.
And I don't know. Maybe that's all part of it. You know.
I think what we're going to see, and I'll predict it, there's going to be some shenanigans with Alexa's dislocating arm thing.
Oh. Of course so.
Maybe.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
But I don't want to see Ronda win this title. Ronda does not even deserve to be in this picture, especially going into this Women's Evolution thing. I'm sorry. Ronda Rousey is not the one, not the figurehead to go into this.
Well, sorry, Tom, she is. And Ronda's going to win. Sorry. That's just my prediction, and we need to move on. All right. WWE Championship match, AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe.
Oh, I'm going to go with AJ retaining.
All right. John?
I really hope Samoa Joe wins this match, but I'm thinking AJ retains.
All right. Tom?
I think this is the part where AJ drops the title, and AJ has to become a contender again.
Well, there is all this fanfare about him being the longest reigning SmackDown champion.
And I think Joe has earned this.
All right. I'm going to say Joe. And finally, Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns. And I guess there's a title attached to this match. Monroe?
Brock Lesnar.
John?
I'm gonna say.
Oh, I want to.
Braun Strowman wins.
Yeah, I forgot about that guy.
Well, that's part of it. Yeah, I guess.
I'm gonna say he cashes in during the middle of the match when Roman's about to win, a la Seth Rollins at WrestleMania.
Just not as 31. Quick. Just not running as quickly as
just
Seth.
Not nearly as quick. But the pop will be thunderous. That's what's gonna happen. Just like that too.
Exactly how it sounds.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't think Braun's one of those to wait till a guy's already decimated. I think he wants to come do it. He wants to be the one to break somebody. So it's gonna be during the match, like a la Seth, like like John said. Yeah. But I think KO is going to have the case by then, so it doesn't matter.
Okay, so what's your pick?
I have KO cashing in.
Ah, all right.
on a decimated Roman Reigns.
Because
yeah. I think Roman will exorcise the demons or beast, whatever, and then Kevin will come down and elegantly cash in.
So here's the thing. KO is going to win that briefcase. Brock is going to win his title, but still be kind of like decimated at the end of it all. KO is going to cash in and still lose.
Wow.
I would stop watching.
I'm not saying I want this to happen, by the way. But
no,
this is...
I would stop watching WWE at that point because Brock wins and he did it that way. No, come on, man.
I'm going with the formula of Vince McMahon and they'll never see it coming. They think Brock's leaving. Keep him the title on him. Yeah.
You're not wrong.
Let's re-sign Gilbert.
As I've read reports that they're saying they're okay with him taking the title to UFC. It's ridiculous.
Well, that's not even until January, so I'm not even looking at that yet.
Right.
So he can go a year and a half without the title being on TV anyway, so who cares?
He can get a couple more title defenses out of that.
Yeah, there you go. All right, that is our show. We got to wrap things up here. We're going on 2.5 hours, and it's just for no reason whatsoever. SummerSlam is not worth us time.
It's because we like to talk about wrestling that much, Dave.
You're right. You're right. We all love wrestling, regardless of the status of WWE.
Good, bad, indifferent. We like it.
We love it.
There you go.
Want some more of it.
White wrapping. We'll be back next week to talk about the results of this wonderful weekend and look at all other things in the world of wrestling, much like we did today with this podcast. And again, this is episode 91, by the way. So next week will be episode 92. If you wish to find us on social medias and interact with us, we would love that very much. So hit us up on @ringsidegeeks on all the social medias. We're all over the place. Check us out on Instagram. There's all sorts of good pictures from Monroe and John at Progress and Evolve. So be sure to check those out. But if you want to talk to us on an individual basis, Tom, you're on Twitter.
I am on the Twitter machine @skids_world.
John?
I'm on the Twitter and Instagram @xjohnneve.
I just punched my microphone. And Monroe?
I am on Twitter @EABS_ENT.
And
YouTube page, Eye of the Storm Entertainment.
Booyah. All right. That is going to do it this week. Thank you so much for listening for all 2 hours of this podcast. We appreciate it. If you would be so kind and rate, review us on iTunes, that'd be awesome. Or if you don't even want to do that, just chat us up to a friend of yours if you happen to have any that like wrestling. I think they'll enjoy this show. If they don't like WWE, we talk about everything else, clearly. They can be fans of John and Monroe's, or in the weird case, they can be fans of Tom's Impact Reports. and you can talk wrestling with Impact.
Tom's pretty good. We're the weird ones.
So there you go. They're the weird ones. Yeah, that's it. Anything else? Any last words from anybody?
A little quick one. God. Like to shout out, rest in peace to Aretha Franklin. You know, a lot of the problems going on with the world. If you listen to her music, let it wrap you, because it wraps you in a cold blanket of just cool. Because that is what music was about.
Mm-hmm. Very nice, Tom.
All right. That'll do it. Thanks, everybody. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.